When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We begin this morning front and center with the thought leader conversation. Greg Warsak is here. He's the Senior Vice President, Regional Manager of the Chicago Market for Commercial Real Estate at Associated Bank. Greg, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Morning, Steve. Great to be here.
I want to start with some breaking news. I guess I always do this to you, don't I? Can I put you on the spot a little bit? But this week, there's news about Amazon. We may finally know where second headquarters is going. And everybody's betting, and the Washington Post is reporting it's going to be Arlington, Virginia, that area.
Yeah, it's they said by the end of the year that they would announce it, but there's clearly discussions ongoing with some of the front runners, and it would appear that that might be the front runner at this point.
I know we've been talking about this throughout the year, but what will this mean for the Chicago area?
You know, honestly, if we would have gotten it, I think it would have been great. It certainly would have been a game changer. But, you know, I still think there's a lot of positive things going on in Chicago from a tech perspective and other companies that are coming here that I think will be fine. We still have some great growth trajectory in the tech industry here.
If this report holds out to be true, is there anything that we can learn from this process going forward, perhaps?
From what I've heard, that Amazon has actually been pretty good about giving feedback to the respective cities, and not just the 20 finalists, but all cities, giving them an idea of the things that they were lacking. And some of them are actually taking it to heart and doing something about it. Hopefully Chicago, you know, got their feedback as well. I don't think it's a complete done deal. I think we're probably, you know, I used to like to think that we were in the top five. I'd guess we're in the top 10. There's a lot of cities on that list with deep markets from a tech talent perspective, which I think weighed in quite a bit. But I'm not entirely surprised that it's ending up near DC.
Mm-hmm. Top 10 is not a bad place to be, really.
It's not, but I think, you know, being a Chicagoan, we all like to think that it was ours to lose. We thought that we had some really great sites and a lot to offer. But, you know, the state and the city have some challenges, too, that maybe came into play.
I want to turn the conversation to the commercial real estate market. Give us a sense of how it's doing, both in the city and the suburbs, and maybe give us a sense of what the cycle is, because I've seen a lot of people talking about the end of the cycle coming or actually already here. How would you describe it?
You know, that is a great question. And I think about it and I talk to people about it every day because, frankly, I feel like there's a lot of conflicting data. Everybody's talking about it, the fact that we're 10 years into this cycle and it's just a matter of time. But there's an awful lot of indicators that would suggest that there's a lot of strength in the economy still. If I just look at what we're seeing at the bank, this is a very busy time of year for us. It is every year from Labor Day until Thanksgiving. Commercial real estate people are very active at this time of the year. They come back from summer and they put the pedal down and they want to close by year end. So we're extremely busy right now, which would not suggest a slowdown. And it's in all asset classes. We're seeing a big uptick in suburban office, which is kind of an interesting, you know, trend. We're also seeing more retail, which you would think with the press that there would be less retail. And a lot of it's repositioning. Some of it's acquisition of, you know, I would call it undervalued. Mm-hmm. You know, we're seeing a lot of investors come in and say this isn't priced right, and I think there's some value here.
This report that I'm looking at says millennials keep moving to the suburbs, driving the demand for suburban office space. I know that's the case in some urban markets, but is that the case in this market, in the Chicago market?
You know, I think it remains to be seen, but there's an awful lot of real-life examples where millennials said that they were going to stay in the city and never leave, but then they have the kids, and now all of a sudden you see them moving out. Mm-hmm. They're not moving that far out, though. It feels like it's, you know, first or second ring in short train ride. So quality of life is still a big deal to these millennials. So does that mean that it's going to start pushing suburban office? Not so sure, but you know, if you look at the suburban market in Chicago, I really like the Rosemont market. Mm-hmm. You know, it's right on the Blue Line, which brings a lot of talent out of the city. So to the extent that you have to be in the burbs, that's a great spot to be.
Since we talked last, the old McDonald's site has been making headlines. They put it up for sale. It's on the market. It may even become a park.
Yeah, I actually saw something recently last week about a portion of it's being sold off for sale. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, who's to say what's going to happen with the rest of it? Some say that it's might be so deferred, it might be best to just scrape it and start over.
Mm-hmm. If the trend is to move to see more strength in the suburbs, especially the suburban office market, what would that look like? Because I know before we talked about how they're trying, developers are trying some new things with some of these markets to have it be more than just an office space, to have other amenities inside of it. Would that be where you'd see things popping?
Definitely. And I go back to my Rosemont example. You're seeing some of the office buildings that are in that market when they're being acquired. Some of the space is being built out to be more urban, more creative workspace. And what that means is they take out the tile ceiling and you see all the mechanicals and they just spray paint it black. Mm. And, you know, it's that kind of that vibe, if you will. Big push for you know, restaurant, entertainment, again, all the things that you see out in Rosemont, just using them as an example. And then, you know, residential opportunities. The reality is, though, a lot of people still like to live in the city, and you see it in Chicago. There's a big reverse commute aspect here.
This one article talked, too, about how some, at least in some markets, you can acquire some suburban office space below replacement cost, below sort of market cost, and that's a little extra money to change it around a little bit, to rehab it or make it look different.
Yeah, that's half the trick, and we're seeing some of that on the deals that are coming in, and some of the loan requests we're seeing is that, you know, the reality is the average vacancy for suburban office in Chicago is around 20%, and you know, some of these buildings have not seen reinvestment in some time. So if you buy it right, you put in some, you know, capital improvements, update it, you know, provide a nice TI package and a tenant improvement package, mm-hmm. for potential tenants. Who's to say that that's not a better investment than coming downtown?
And then on the flip side of this is, and you talked about this a little earlier, was the tech companies coming into Chicago. The statistic, the segment doubling in size over the past year, that's a huge thing.
That is huge, and I see that trend continuing. We haven't even really felt the full effect of what's coming. I mean, you know, Google's expanding. That could be just the tip of the iceberg in the Fulton Market area for another 100,000 square feet. You've got Facebook just signed a new lease. They haven't even hired the people yet. They just signed the lease. Yeah. You know, and if the Salesforce deal comes to fruition, that's another 500,000 square feet anchoring a building. That's I forgot the number of people there, but that's just what's announced. So I think the trajectory of this is pretty significant.
This one report says that tech companies account for about 10% of downtown office space. Down, that's a big segment.
Yeah, it kind of surprises me, actually.
Yeah,
I didn't expect that it would take off that much, but I still think there's a lot of runway based on what we're seeing with some of the leasing.
Yeah, and we haven't even talked about the others, Glassdoor, Uber, Yelp, some of these other companies that have expanded, too, into downtown.
Yep, they've expanded. I have LinkedIn in my building. They're expanding. It's interesting, and we're not even hitting on the startups that are all over the city that are growing. So there's a lot of organic growth, too, that these companies start out with one or two people, and before you know it, it's 10 or 15, and they have higher space needs. So there's a lot of opportunity in that space yet.
Do you, and going back to the discussion about why people seem to think that there's something coming, there's going to be some downturn or some negative, do you think this is part of it that they see that in their minds we've reached this sort of top level capacity area and we think, well, how much more could it expand? Is that part of the thinking or no?
Yeah, I think you know, 10 years into a cycle is pretty long. And I think the runway from this, you know, the tax changes and that little bit of juice that we had from that, I think people are nervous too about the impact of the tariffs as we head into 2019. So it's hard to gauge exactly where we are, but there's a lot of people, you know, starting to forecast 2020.
You think it's interest rates, the discussion over rising interest rates are in there as well or no?
I personally don't think so. I mean, there's 25 basis points in December and maybe two more increases in 2019 really slow things that much. It's still pretty low rates.
Before we let you go, I want to have you weigh in on CBRE, the Real Estate Services Investment Group, but launching a co-working space. These are the big hit in cities around the country, these co-working shared spaces, and this is a big player now jumping in.
Yeah, it's to me that suggests that there's some serious credibility to this element of office space leasing, that if CBRE is dedicating these types of resources and a dedicated platform for expanding this, it's not going away. This whole co-work idea was interesting when it started out as Regus and they would backfill some vacant space in some of the buildings. Now it's morphed into something that who knows what the potential is.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to send my resume over to CBRE. The place they're opening this up happens to be Hawaii, so not a bad place to co-work.
Right.
Greg, if people want to have this conversation with you one-on-one, how can they get a hold of you?
Best way to get a hold of me is email greg.worsek@associatedbank.com.
We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Steve.
Greg Worsek, the Senior Vice President and Commercial Real Estate Manager over at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation. Remember, you can listen to our past conversations at WGNradio.com and on the opening bell page, follow Associated Bank, too, on Twitter at Associated Biz, and head over to AssociatedBank.com/thoughtleadership for more there as well.